Yes, hello, it's Jason Louvre. Welcome back to the Ultra Culture Podcast. Today's episode is entitled, Theocracy, Can We Not? And encapsulates a lot of my thoughts on our current world situation. If you would like to see the video version of this video essay, go to my YouTube. Just search Magic Me on YouTube. You will see the full glorious 4K video version of this. And while you're there, make sure to like and subscribe. Definitely make sure that you're subscribed to the podcast and the YouTube, because we're putting out different content for each. Yes, you lucky, lucky, wonderful, beautiful people. So much content for you. So that means podcasts and YouTubes, and sometimes they will double up and sometimes they won't. Sometimes there's YouTubes that don't appear on the podcast at all because it's not an appropriate format, doesn't make sense. And sometimes there's podcasts that don't appear on the YouTube, like the last one, where I recorded an entire album for you for free. And that came to you only on the podcast and not on YouTube. So sometimes the streams will cross, but make sure you're subscribed to both so that you get all of the latest content from magic.me. And of course, make sure that you are subscribed to the mailing list where you can find out about all of this. That's at start.magic.me, start.magic.me, magic.me. All right, without further ado, here is this week's episode. Yes, hello. My name's Jason Louvre, and I'm an author, podcaster, and teacher of Western esotericism. And today, I present myself not just as a representative of the Western esoteric tradition, but more importantly, as a fellow human being and a fellow sufferer of this increasingly precarious and, yes, often frightening world that we find ourselves in. We are at a pivotal moment in history, where we have a choice between barbarism and a new dark age on one side, and science, progress, and enlightenment, tolerance, and peace on the other. While the free world advances into the future at a blistering speed, coming up with better and better technology, artificial intelligence, and seeking to extend tolerance and equity to more and more groups of people, at the same time, the opposite is happening. In a very disturbing echo or echoes of the past, we see a rise in violent fundamentalism, extremism, and pushes for theocratic government all over the world, from terrorist groups in the Middle East and around the world to our own homegrown Christian evangelicals in the United States. Whether we like it or not, these fundamentalist and extremist movements are working hard night and day all over the world to roll back our sacred freedoms and rights. As fast as we can increase our quality of life, they seek to push it back into the dark ages. And this does not benefit anybody. A 2019 Pew Research Center study found that globally, religious restriction and intolerance had increased quite significantly on 7 of 8 major metrics, including things like favoritism shown towards specific religious groups, harassment of specific religious groups, the inaction of laws and policies and limits on specific religious groups, and even organized religious violence. If we just take America, those are global figures, but if we just take America and what's happening here recently in this country, prominent Republican senators have actually been arguing that the separation of church and state is a relic that should be dispensed with. For instance, Pennsylvania State Senator Doug Mastriano recently said, in his words, that the separation of church and state is, quote, a myth.
So much for this myth of separation of church and state.
Colorado Representative Lauren Boebert also recently said, again, her words, that people are, quote, just tired of this separation of church and state junk. And also her words, that the church is supposed to direct the government.
The church is supposed to direct the government. The government is not supposed to direct the church. That is not how our founding fathers intended it. And I'm tired of this separation of church and state junk.
These aren't just a few bad apples. These are representative of the opinion of a near majority of the American public. For instance, a more recent study, also from the Pew Research Center in 2024, found that 49% of adults in the United States, regardless of political party, by the way, 49% say that the Bible should actively influence American politics. If we just take Republicans, 42% of Republicans say that if the Bible and the law conflict, the Bible should prevail. It's not all bad news. Almost 80% of Americans say that the influence of religion is waning in political and public life. However, the people that do remain, the hardcore, are increasingly extreme, violent, and motivated as they feel their power and control over society slipping. A 2023 study from PRI Brookings found that 3 in 10, that's 30% of all Americans across all political parties, are at least sympathetic to the Christian nationalist ideology. 1 in 10 Americans, 10% of the country, are actually identified as adherents or believers in Christian nationalism. When you look at red states, it's 4 in 10. Now, while 45% of those Christian nationalists may be located in 5 southern states, let me tell you, as somebody who was born and bred in California, no state has a monopoly on hate. Southern California, where I'm from, while it's generally regarded by the rest of the world as a tolerant mecca of liberalism, is also home to more hate groups than anywhere else in the country. That includes skinheads. It also includes things like Christian nationalists in Orange County in particular, and many others. This is a national problem, and it is a global problem that requires all of us. So of those people who are either sympathetic to or actually adherents to Christian nationalism, what does that mean? Let's take a look. Well, 54% of the adherents and 45% of the sympathizers to Christian nationalism agree that, quote, there is a storm coming soon that will sweep away the elites in power and restore the rightful leaders. Now, those are not idle words, as we saw on January 6th. As ridiculous as that was at times, it also was an attempted insurrection. These people are serious. They will be more serious next time. In addition, Christian nationalists are about twice as likely as all other Americans to believe political violence may be justified. Nearly 4 in 10 Christian nationalist adherents and 1/3 of Christian nationalist sympathizers agree that, quote, because things have gotten so far off track, true American patriots may have to resort to violence to save the country. Now, that's not saying much, as the entirety of American society is now much, much more sympathetic to the idea of political violence, regardless of where they are on the spectrum. Christian nationalists in particular are quite willing to enact their violent fantasies. Okay, how about the rest of the world? In the Middle East and also around the rest of the world, Islamist extremism is on the rise and, of course, is the gift that just keeps on giving. As I'm recording this, there have recently been terrorist attacks all over the world, most recently in Moscow. Islamic terrorism and extremism is a serious threat to democracy and democratic values around the world. Now, the majority of Muslims reject extremism, and I want to be really careful to point that out. The majority of governments of Muslim countries are active partners with the United States in counterterrorism.
But I've seen that you called the Ayatollah Khamenei the new Hitler of the Middle East.
Absolutely.
Why?
Because he wants to expand. He wants to create his own project in the Middle East, very much like Hitler, who wanted to expand at the time. Many countries around the world and in Europe did not realize how dangerous Hitler was until what happened happened. I don't want to see the same events happening in the Middle East.
We're talking about extremists, just like we're talking about the extremists in Christianity, rather than tarnishing an entire group. And I do want to make that clear. That said, Islamic terrorism is particularly bad these days, and we've suffered a lot of it already in the United States, but it's particularly bad these days as it is now state-funded. In 2019, the United States State Department released a report saying that Iran spends over $700 million a year funding terrorism through its proxies around the world. By mid-century, the vast majority of human beings on this planet are going to be religious. And there'll be a split of about 31% of the world's population being Christian and about 30% Muslim. That is, the majority of people on the planet in 2050 will be either Christians or Muslim. And both of those religious traditions have serious problems with their own extremists. Now, again, I'm not painting these traditions with broad brushes. I'm pointing to the extremists. I've been a Christian many times in my life. I was very seriously a Greek Orthodox Christian. I have actually kissed one of the hairs from the beard of Muhammad. Yes, the Muhammad. I've kissed one of the hairs from the beard of Muhammad, a holy relic. So I know these traditions very well. And I know that there's many, many factions within them. And there are beautiful, liberal, humanist traditions within these religions, just as there are extremist, monstrous, terrorist. Groups that want to push the world back into theocracy tend to do that with one language, and that's the language of violence and terrorism. Since their ideas don't actually hold water, they simply go to thug tactics. Terrorism is on the rise globally. It's threatening international peace and security. And when we see even places like Russia, who are actively engaged in a war in Ukraine, still are suffering Islamist attacks, we know for sure that this is beyond just specific countries. This is everywhere. And yes, we have places like Tehran, Iran, actively funding terrorism. But these days, we don't need active terrorist recruiters. People self-radicalize on the internet, whether that's into the alt-right or ISIS or whatever it is. Let's look at a few sobering facts. These are from the Global Terrorism Index report for 2024. So in 2024, deaths caused by terrorism increased by 22%. That's 8,352 people killed worldwide, which is the highest level since 2017. And although the actual number of attacks is going down, the attacks that do occur are becoming much more deadly with a higher body count. Now, 85% of the world's terrorism occurs in the Middle East, with the majority of that being in sub-Saharan Africa, which is a more recent development. But of that remaining 15%, for Western democracies, the United States accounted for 76% of terrorist incidents, terrorist-related deaths. The country that's worst affected right now is Burkina Faso. That's an ongoing tragedy. So in the United States, we have a somewhat short but rather vivid and horrific memory of terrorist extremism. It's something we used to be more protected from, but particularly since the 90s and then definitely since 9/11, have not been. Of course, we have 9/11 itself, the global icon of terrorism. But it's not like that was the last extremist Islamist attack on U.S. soil. We've had recent attacks at the Naval Air Station Corpus Christi, Naval Air Station Pensacola at Ohio State University, and of course, the infamous Orlando Pulse nightclub shooting, and many, many more, including one that happened near me in Southern California in San Bernardino with self-radicalized ISIS-identifying shooters who were Americans. I'm not just picking on Islamist extremists. Christian extremists have also been responsible for a lot of terrorist attacks in the U.S. Examples are the Pittsburgh Tree of Life synagogue shooter, the Poway, California synagogue shooter. There's also Robert Doggett, who was a 63-year-old mechanical engineer who attempted to destroy the entire town of Islamburg in Delaware County, New York, and kill everyone in it. There's, of course, lots of abortion clinic bombings, white supremacist Christian identity people, assorted militias, backwoods nuttiness, all of that. Recently also, and I know that this is an extremely contentious issue to say the very least, and I'm not going to touch on what's currently happening in Gaza, but it bears mentioning the October 7th attacks in Israel, particularly the attack on the Nova Festival. I don't know if you've seen that footage. If you haven't, and if you have a strong stomach, I recommend it. It's not easy. It's horrible. You will have nightmares for a long time. But the attack on the Nova Festival, I can't think of a more stark symbol of the old and the new. The people that were attacked at the Nova Festival were people like us. There were psychedelic Buddhas up. There were tents with shamanic healing. They were dancing to electronic music. These were the best of society. Young, optimistic kids with their entire lives ahead of them. People who were interested in New Age ideas, interested in ideas like meditation and Buddhism and magic, who would be sympathetic to the things that we're talking about on this channel. They weren't there representing Judaism. They were representing the global New Age culture. And people from all over the world were at that festival, not just Israelis. And what happened? They were butchered, raped, slaughtered, kidnapped, taken as slaves. I can't think of a more stark symbol of the forces of what we might call the old Aeon in conflict, in their last dying gasp for relevance, with the best, the new Aeon. But it's not just explicit violence and terrorism. Before it even gets to that, theocracy and fundamentalism and religious extremism create a climate of hatred and intolerance. And that's real. That leads to the undermining of civil liberties. It leads to the persecution of religious minorities. It leads to anti-Semitism, as we're seeing more and more of, unfortunately. And it poses a severe danger to women and children. It bears mentioning, bears an extreme danger to people like us, people who are interested in paganism or the occult, who will be first on the chopping block should these people come to power. So let's talk about some stats. Since October 7th, the Anti-Defamation League has tracked the highest level of anti-Semitic attacks for any period since it began tracking in 1979. How do I put this? You know that thing about first they came for the Jews and I didn't speak out, and then they came for, you know, the homosexuals and I didn't speak out, and then they came for African Americans and I didn't speak out, and so on and so forth. Okay, we're at the top of that list, okay? It's actually for us, we're not at the end of the list. It's first they came for the Satanists, which is how they see us, then they came for the Jews. So I guarantee you, if there are anti-Semitic movements in America or wherever it is that you live, you should be very, very, very scared. And you should be speaking out against it. And this is not an idle thing. We are very seriously in danger of slipping back into the World War II period in a lot of ways. This is a dangerous, dangerous situation. And don't think that I don't know that a lot of people in the occult community have been flirting with ideas of Nazi occultism or the alt-right or the ideas of Alexander Dugin or Julius Evola, all of these things. Okay, you are being, not you specifically, I hope the listener, but people who are doing this are being the proverbial cultist that summon Cthulhu and get surprised when he eats them. I guarantee you, should Christian nationalists or white nationalists or both come to power in America, you will be first on the chopping block. Just look at QAnon. They'll kill you before they kill Jewish people. And they'll kill me before they kill the Jews. So think clearly about this. These are forces that we as a community must police within our own communities and put down where we see them, because it is that serious. So, these are anti-Semitic attacks in America, but don't think the Middle East is any different. I mean, you don't need me to tell you that we have whole countries in the Middle East who have it as their actual stated charter to destroy Jewish people worldwide. And that, of course, includes basically everyone who doesn't believe their specific brand of desert madness. Also, let's not forget that groups like ISIS persecute minority Muslim groups. For instance, when ISIS was more in power, they murdered a good chunk of the Yazidi, who are a minority sect in the Middle East who worship in what some people say is Satan, but the peacock angel Melek Taus. They're a Gnostic group. According to Aleister Crowley and Kenneth Grant, they may actually be one of the primary sources for the Western magical tradition. And it's quite possible that they may actually be the survivals of the Sumerian people, the very first people on Earth. And they've been murdered by ISIS. They were herded up a hill where ISIS raped their women and murdered them. A lot of them basically herded them up a hill and committed a mass slaughter of them. Okay, so it's not just all minority groups are at risk. Even minority groups within the actual religions of those extremists. It's also minority religions like Buddhism in Afghanistan. Some you may know, it's not common knowledge, but Buddhism was very active in Afghanistan for a long period of time. A lot of that cultural heritage was destroyed by the Taliban, including ancient statues of Buddha. All that's gone now. Those potential sources of wisdom, of gnosis, of knowledge about who we are, of who we are as a people, gone, destroyed. It's getting too close to home, not only in the increase in terrorism seemingly around the world, but also in the proximity of fundamentalists and extremists to the levers of power in government in America. For instance, and yes, this will be contentious, but while American liberals and leftists were playing their increasingly arcane academic and yes, increasingly extremist games about privilege and identity, we lost Roe versus Wade. And that also is an incredibly stark example of what happens when you stop paying attention and let very, very motivated and organized theocrats and fundamentalists take over your government. Because once they get it, you don't get it back. Almost as stark, or perhaps starker, the appointment of figures like Mike Johnson, the current Speaker of the House.
Someone asked me today in the media, they said, it's curious. People are curious. What does Mike Johnson think about any issue under the sun? I said, well, go pick up a Bible off your shelf and read it. That's my worldview. That's what I believe.
Again, the current Speaker of the House recently told a gathering of Christian lawmakers that God had prepared him to, quote, be the new Moses. The Speaker of the House, this is what he said specifically. The Lord impressed upon my heart a few weeks before this happened that something was going to occur. And the Lord very specifically told me in my prayers to prepare, but to wait. I had the sense that we were going to come to a Red Sea moment in our Republican conference and the country at large. Look, I'm a Southern Baptist. I don't want to get too spooky on you, okay? But the Lord speaks to your heart, and he had been speaking to me about this. And the Lord told me very clearly to prepare. Okay, prepare for what? I don't know. We're coming to a Red Sea moment, he says, God said. What does that mean, Lord? The current Speaker of the House. In addition, a 2023 ProPublica report found that much of the recent conservative religious takeover of the U.S. Supreme Court, including the appointment of Justices Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett by Donald Trump, was largely orchestrated by one man, a Vatican operative and literal member of Catholic secret societies, Leonard Leo. So again, a Vatican operative, one man, was largely in charge of swinging the Supreme Court in the United States to the far right, which we will suffer for the next 20 years at least, largely because the Catholic Church wants abortion rights ended in the United States, and they're doing a pretty good job of it so far. Leo Leonard's been doing all kinds of stuff with his deep pockets from his dark money network, including voter suppression efforts and probably lots more, and I'm sure he's not the only one. This isn't just about politics. We also bear a special responsibility in another regard, which is that we are in a community that is often vulnerable to extremist ideas and in which a lot of these extremist ideas can first pass looking for recruits and adherents before getting out into the wider world. The alt-right is a perfect example of that. Another example of that is the very blatant subversion of Western occult spaces and neo-pagan spaces by the Russian fascist thinker Alexander Dugin, who has also used alt-right, is also partially responsible for the alt-right. Now, this isn't widely thought about, although it is widely known, but let me remind you here that just to take the Holocaust as an example, it was from the occult world that Nazism emerged. That doesn't mean that Nazism was an occult phenomenon, although Hitler was interested in the occult and was tutored in the occult by his mentor, but seems to have largely simply been interested in it for the theatrics of power and control. But he was in the world of the twilight world of ideas that aren't quite fit for consumption by broad society. And that's the world that we're in. So we are often fellow travelers are and privy to seeing extremists in our spaces. And it is for that reason that we must take additional responsibility and additional vigilance on policing these matters within our own community and making sure that extremism and terrorism and fascism do not creep further into society. So what can we do? Use your voice. Speak out. Talk about these things that we're seeing. Speak out against fundamentalism, against superstition, against extremist thinking. In many ways, this is the point of the Western magical tradition. Another reason why we have special responsibility. Historically speaking, going back to the Enlightenment, the point of the Western magical tradition and of its many branches like Masonry and even specifically Thelema were constituted as anti-clerical movements meant to free Europe from the superstitious control of the Vatican so that things like science, free thinking, and religious tolerance could happen. Without the Western esoteric tradition, we would not have science and democracy. I've written an entire book about this, John Dee and the Empire of Angels. Without the Western esoteric tradition, we would not be enjoying the democracy, the enlightenment, the rationality, and the scientific method and everything that it brings with it, like medicine, that we currently are. And so we, as people who are engaged with this tradition, bear a special responsibility to continue playing that role and standing as a bulwark between society and the forces of theocracy, fundamentalism, and darkness. Because if we go back to a new dark age, you can kiss all of this goodbye. You can say goodbye to the internet. You can say goodbye to reading or thinking what you want. And you can certainly say goodbye to anything that smacks of the occult or paganism or meditation or the New Age, because it's all Satanism to them. I often say that in the magical or neo-pagan community, we accept everyone, and that's partially because we have been rejected by everyone, because every religion, and of course, even science, although I don't think we should be in conflict, but every religion in the world hates magic, although they all practice it. They just want it for themselves. So we don't have any friends there. We have to stand up for our rights. And chief among our rights is the right to be different. We need to assert the right to think differently, to have our own thoughts about things, even in the face of, yes, the increasing fundamentalism of cancel culture and people attacking each other online for getting out of line with what is perceived to be the ideological party line. Now, unfortunately, the ideological party line of all parties is leading directly off the cliff. And that's why it's more important than ever for you to find and use your voice. Share who you are with the world. When you speak out, it gives other people permission to speak out and to be brave. And when you show that it is important to be different and that you can be different, whatever that means for you, and that it's okay to be creative, and it's okay to make your own way in life, and it's okay to do what thou wilt and not what some Ayatollah wants you to do, this gives people permission to be free. Every generation must re-win its freedom. Every generation must once again fight for its ability to be intellectually, spiritually, and physically free. The forces that are currently aligning against us thrive in climates of fear, ignorance, division, superstition, and paranoia. All of these forces overshadow dialogue and understanding, and that's why using your voice for speaking out and for dialogue with those who think differently from you is more important than ever. So, to my fellow practitioners of magic or the occult or whatever you want to call it, neo-pagans, the time to act is now. It really is. We have to engage in respectful, informed conversations. We need to educate ourselves and the people around us. We need to educate the other people in our lives respectfully and openly about the issues that we face. And we need to participate in the democratic process, because a lot of these forces will, of course, take democracy away completely, but currently they're trying to suppress people's ability to access it. We need to participate in the democratic process, and we need to make sure that, yes, our voices are heard, both individually and collectively. We have to support organizations and movements that fight for human rights that would include ours, and that stand against bigotry in all of its forms, because again, no matter who takes charge of these groups, we will be first on the chopping block. And we have to do that not out of fear, but out of remembering what's important about who we are, out of a deep-seated belief in our individual freedom, in our freedom to pursue spirituality on our own terms, coming from the strength, perhaps, that we have all gained through our individual spiritual practices, and the strength of character and force and truth and peace and justice that we all know is within us, and that we all know deep down, no matter how grouchy and rebellious some of us might be on the surface, that we all know deep down is critical and must be preserved, and that we simply will not have a chance to critique a system if one doesn't exist because it's been taken over by theocratic madmen. We have to act from a deep-seated belief in the sanctity of individual freedom, and we need to find common cause with other groups and fellow travelers who are in the same boat as us, so that we can speak collectively and as a block, and that we can collectively stand up against these forces of death cultism. This moment in history is a test. It's a test of our courage, it's a test of our values, and it's a test of just how committed we actually are to a world of physical and spiritual freedom. It's all well and good to talk the talk about spiritual liberation and all of those great things and Buddhism and meditation and all that. But now it's time to walk the walk and actually ensure that people's religious freedom is protected and their physical freedom. We all have examples from our lives and within our own spiritual communities of people who have stood up against intolerance, against oppression, and who have spoken out and used their voices, even when it wasn't convenient, or maybe even when it was a little bit unwise, but who felt called to speak out anyways. And we all are better off because of it. We all know those people, and we can draw inspiration and strength from them, whether they're alive or not. We can still forge a future where light, understanding, and respect overcome the forces of hatred, intolerance, and fear. And we're not alone. Decent and good people from all over the world stand against the rising of fundamentalism and extremism. I speak to this community, but I also hope to speak to the world in whatever way that I can. The time is now for us to collectively say no to going backwards. Backwards to inquisition, to torture, to intolerance, to warfare, to hatred of women, to hatred of children, to the oppression of women and children. The answer from the world must simply be no. There are times when it is acceptable to be intolerant, and this is one of them. I know that people in this community love to infight and backbite and claim one-ups on each other with titles and initiations and all that. It's time for all of that to end. We all have serious common problems that require us to unite, and not just with each other, but with people all over the world. Together, we can defend the cherished values of the free world: human dignity, freedom, tolerance, the rule of law, and basic human rights. Together, we can ensure that the horrors of the past are never repeated, that the freedoms we hold dear are preserved for ourselves and for generations to come. So stand up, speak out, and let's move forward together with strength, with conviction, and with a profound belief in the justness of our cause. Because our cause is just. It's the ensuring of the intellectual and spiritual, and yes, even the physical freedom of every man, woman, and child on earth. That is the traditional historical goal of the Western esoteric tradition, and it is the role we must continue to play well into the future. Thank you for listening. Thank you for standing with me. And most of all, thank you for fighting for a world that respects and protects the right to be different. Together we can be strong, and together we will make a difference. I'm Jason Louv. Thank you very much.